VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Friends, the times certainly are interesting, and we have certainly seen the likes of matters that are taking place here across this nation, and so many lives are being impacted through the matters and issues that are going on. I would like to mention that the program we did just the other day with Bill Federer, we've had just a significant response to the program as he spoke on his book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. We had such a request for books that we have more en route, and we'll be obtaining those here momentarily and getting those out to you. But we've invited Bill to come back on the program and to discuss further some of the issues that are going on as it relates to socialism. A matter of fact, there is an emphasis going on to influence elections and the matter of the vote and impacting the vote, manipulating voters and so forth. And Bill Federer is from Amerisearch. He's the author of numerous books, and including the brand new release, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. And Bill, thanks for being available here last minute and joining us for the broadcast today.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you.
Great. Bill, we're going to focus in today on a specific number of chapters on your book, just due to the fact that the matter of socialism has been impacted in such a great, a significant way here across the nation. And I'd like to just hone in on just a few areas here, one of which is the matter of elections and how public opinion is swayed and voter fraud and those kinds of issues. We have noticed that this is a tenet of socialism. So if you could tie together for us socialism and how this is impactful upon elections and voting.
Right. So the most common form of government in world history is kings, Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, whatever the name is. It's one person controls everything, and you do what he says or he kills you. The other form of government is where the people rule themselves, primarily in democracies and republics. Quick difference. Democracy is where the people rule directly. So everybody has to be at every meeting every day. And it goes back to ancient Greece, where they had 6,000 citizens, and every day they would meet in the marketplace called the Agora. And if you didn't show up for a couple of days, you didn't know what they were talking about, and you were called an idiot. Pure democracy only worked on a small geographic scale where everybody could logistically be there every day. So they were called Greek city-states. A republic is different. A republic is where the people are king, ruling indirectly. So you can take care of your family and your farm, and you have someone in your place that goes to the market every day and talks politics. They are your representative. And so that's why we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic. The people are king, ruling through representatives. I throw out, when someone protests the flag, what they're effectively saying is, I don't want to rule anymore. I don't want to participate in ruling myself. It's like, okay, somebody else will be happy to rule your life. But so if you think of it as a spectrum, one side's total government, power in the hands of a dictator. The other side is no government, or in the sense where the power is separated into the hands of the people. Now, how do you flip? How do you go from the people back to a dictator? Well, if the people are in charge, you have to pitch your agenda and sway the people. In ancient China, they had an emperor, and he would have thousands of concubines, and they were kept by the eunuchs, who were called the mandarins. And so if you wanted to get in to see the emperor and pitch your agenda, you had to bribe these mandarins with favors and money to get an audience with the emperor. Well, in ancient Athens, they didn't have an emperor. The people were in charge. Well, if you have an agenda, how do you pitch your agenda to the entire city population? That's when they invented theater. They would invite everyone to this big outdoor amphitheater, and they would put on plays, comedies, tragedies, satires, where they would ridicule and buffoon certain points of view and honor and extol other points of view. And so from that time till now, theater is always political in a country where it's the people that make the decisions. And so this, I tell people, think of your favorite sitcom, movie, or show. There's a character you identify with. They're cute, they're funny, they're the hero. As the series goes on, this character begins to make morally compromising decisions, a little lying, a little lust, a little cheat, a little revenge. And you find yourself apologizing for them and actually moving along in your views in accordance with how the character moves along in the views. In other words, accepting alternative lifestyles where before maybe you would not have done so. And so this idea of developing methods to sway the people, let's fast forward all the way to Hitler. And he had a propaganda minister. That was actually the name. It was propaganda minister. His name was Joseph Goebbels. Goebbels understood this dynamic of mob emotional manipulation to promote a political view. And so it's based on this idea that everyone wants to fit in, everyone wants to be accepted. And the most hurtful thing that can happen to a person is to be rejected, rejected by their group, rejected by their peers, shunned, ostracized, kicked out of the clique by the diva of the junior high girls' clique, right? To not be picked for the basketball team, you know, you're left out. And everyone likes to be liked, and no one likes to be unfriended, so to speak. Well, Goebbels used this, and he would orchestrate these big Colosseum events with 100,000 people, and they would start at the front giving the Hitler salute. By the time it worked its way back, everyone felt pressured to do the Hitler salute, sort of in the same way that Islamic men pray together publicly in a group, because it would take a lot of backbone to say, I'm not going to bow. And so there's a group pressure that takes place. This was studied after World War II in America in the Solomon-Ash conformity experiment. And why is this important? Because we're witnessing today the orchestration of mob manipulation for political purposes, but I'm getting to that. So Ash conformity experiment, it was done on college campuses. They would pull 8 students into a classroom. 7 of them had been paid ahead of time to be actors. 1 was a naive participant. And the teacher put 2 cards on the front desk. 1 card simply had 1 line on it. The other card had 3 lines, 1 longer, 1 shorter, 1 the same size. And they went around the room, starting with the paid actor students. And one by one, they would convincingly say the shorter line was equal to the line on the first card. By the time it got around to that 8th naive participant, 30% of them would deny their own eyes and go along with the group. There was this pressure to want to go along. They would doubt their own perception. They would doubt their views. And so this concept has been worked into school pushing of agendas, where the teacher sets what's acceptable in the group and ridicules people that don't agree with it and makes it feel like everybody else is in on it. This has been used in marketing of products, where they'll put some actor that everyone likes, and the actor will be using a product and will give the impression that everybody that's cool, everybody that's in, is using this product. And if you're not using the product, you're an outsider, you're shunned, you're a buffoon, and so forth. So this idea of wanting to fit in is now being used to sway elections. Wow. Say, really? Yeah, it's done online, where everyone wants to be liked and no one wants to be unfriended. I mean, kids will even commit suicide if they're cyber-bullied online by this this group, and because they want to fit in with the group so bad. So now we got elections, and we have committed Democrats, committed Republicans, and undecideds. And the undecideds do a Google search on the candidates. Well, Google has algorithms that will pull up all the negative results on one candidate and all the positive results on another candidate. And the person doing the search reads all this. Why? Because he wants to fit in with what everybody else is saying and believing. And since most elections are won by very small margins, if Google can sway a small percentage of the undecideds by making them feel like, hey, this is the in candidate that everyone likes, and this is the shunned candidate that nobody likes, if they can sway just a small percentage, they can sway elections. and we're moving away from a Democrat process where people get to vote, and now it's who controls the information that the people get when the people vote. So does this make sense?
Yes, it does. And because we see that information there, the public opinions that are being swayed, and then it's not just swaying opinions, but actually then through the algorithms causing manipulation to take place.
Right. So if you think of it as a domino effect, the country is controlled by laws. Laws are controlled by politicians. Politicians are controlled by voters. Voters are controlled by public opinion. And public opinion is controlled by the media, the internet, and education. Education in the long run sort of slowly formulates public opinions, but the media and the internet is instant. And so whoever controls education, media, the internet, controls the information that the voters get, controls how they formulate their public opinions, and controls who ends up getting elected, and then the elected people are the ones who pass the laws for the country. So this is the big grab, and right now the left is controlling the majority of the media. And that's why it's important for us to thank God for individuals like yourself is putting on truth and can explain all this to the public.
Folks, I want you to understand what Bill is talking about here. This is all the game plot of socialism. I mean, this is part of the agenda for what we see played out, and where we see the censoring of thought and opinion taking place, the manipulation of information that's given to people, throwing certain searches to the top and others down to the bottom through the algorithm process. We're seeing this is all part of the socialistic tactic now, with the technology to be able to voice this upon the American people, to sway opinion, to sway elections, and to have a manipulation effect upon voters. Go ahead, Bill.
So the education aspect, there is a tactic called deconstruction. The communists use it quite a lot, and it's an education tactic where you separate the students from the country's past, get the students into a neutral position where they do not remember where they came from, and then you brainwash them into the future you have planned for them. It's a sales technique. So if I was a toothpaste salesman, the very first thing I do is I tell you negative things about the toothpaste you are currently using.
Mm-hmm.
You're still brushing with that old stuff. Don't you know it'll dry out your gums and eat the enamel off your teeth? You're like, ooh, really? You're repulsed by it. Now I got you into a neutral. You're open-minded. What are all the toothpastes out there? Then I give you my pitch for this brand-new tartar-controlled breath freshener stuff. So that's what they do. They go into the classrooms, tell the kids negative things about the founding fathers. They took land from Indians, sold people into slavery. They were chauvinists. They teach them Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. And these students come out of the being disillusioned by the country's founders. Now you got the kids into a neutral. They're open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there? Then you give them your pitch for LGBT or Islam,
mm-hmm,
or socialism.
Yeah.
It's a drive neutral reverse. It's like gene replacement therapy for a culture.
Wow.
Take out the old identity DNA, you put in the new. Now, Europe went through this. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian Europe with Catholic cathedrals, Protestant Reformation, and Jewish neighborhoods. And then it went to a neutral secular Europe with the French Revolution, and then turning to churches into temples of reason, Napoleon spreading it all around. And now it's turning into a socialist Islamic Europe. So.
And folks, we're going to leave that right there. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to delve into the area of voter fraud and how voter fraud, a socialistic tactic, is used for the seizure of power. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, some animals have been around for a long time, haven't they?
Indeed they have, Chris. Actually, from a biblical perspective, when God created the various kinds of animals in Genesis 1, he intended those kinds to survive and continue into the present. Some have gone extinct and some have adapted and changed somewhat, but the basic kinds are still the same. Evolutionists, on the other hand, are confused by what they call persistent fossils, where one organism in the fossil record dated at millions of years old is identical to the same organism alive today. This lack of change is not what evolution would predict. Examples of persistent fossils are numerous, including the horseshoe crab and the ant, etc., etc. Face it, Chris, evolution doesn't happen, but creation, now that did happen back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at icr.org.
William Federer, our guest today here on Crosstalk. Yes, he's a nationally known speaker. He's an historian, an author, president of Amerisearch, and has published a number of books. We had him on just earlier this week, dealing with socialism from Plato to the present, and there was so much in that book. We're bringing him back for just a sub-chapter topic, because he's got several chapters here dealing with this whole issue of manipulation, voter manipulation, and so forth, but also voter fraud. And folks, that's right where we are at today, the concerns across this nation about voter fraud itself. And Bill, I understand, and by the way, listeners will tell you how you can obtain a copy of this book, Socialism, so be ready to jot that down. You can go to vcyamerica.org and find it. We'll also be providing you a phone number. But Bill, this aspect of voter fraud and the seizure of power, I mean, this is really a plan that goes back to Joseph Stalin, doesn't it, with some of the remarks he made?
Right. So if you think people with agenda, you want to influence the people so that you can influence the outcome of the vote. But why don't you just influence the counting of the vote? So Stalin said in 1923, this is recorded in the memoirs of Stalin's former secretary, Boris Baznovov. He said, I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how. But what is extraordinarily important is this. Who will count the votes and how?
Wow.
And so this idea, if you think of it, if there's a political party that can put into their party platform killing innocent babies, what's voter fraud? I mean, that's like nothing compared to killing babies. So in Saul Alinsky, he writes, in war, the ends justifies almost any means.
Hmm.
And so that obviously goes back to Machiavelli in the 1500s in Italy, and his idea of, you know, these different city-states fighting, and if one prince can control all the city-states, it would stop the infighting. So it's called consequentialism, where if the consequence of your actions you perceive as good, then it morally justifies the immoral things you do to get to that consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not Christian. Jesus did not say, go out and lie, cheat, and steal so you can tell everybody how much I love them.
Yeah, right.
No, you operate according to God's rules, and then you trust him with the outcome. But some of the voter fraud methods, one is flat-out losing ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran for Congress three times, believe it or not, in Missouri. I'm sort of the reason Dick Gephardt's no longer in office. He was the Nancy Pelosi before the Nancy Pelosi, so it was a big race. We had the top three members of Congress come in and campaign for me. But we had all kinds of things that happened during the elections. In one of my races, it's the evening. We're at our, what they call, the waiting party, where you're waiting for the election results. We get a phone call from our volunteer at the Jefferson County Board of Election, and they tell us that they cannot find the box of ballots from Guffey Elementary School. Why is that? I stood in front of Guffey Elementary School for 8 hours on election day in the cold, shaking thousands of hands.
Hmm.
And when they call and they said, we can't find the box of ballots from that particular, because it was the biggest precinct in the county. While he's telling me this, my opponent announces that he won.
Wow.
On TV.
Wow.
And then, they come out of the room and they say, well, gee, they get somebody to bring the box up from the basement, and the law says that every box of ballots is supposed to be in full view of a Democrat Republican until it's counted. And everybody saw just one person bringing this up. And so anyway, so losing ballots, it's a real thing. I talked to somebody when there was a Sharon Engel ran for Senate against Harry Reid in Las Vegas. And the stories, and I spent hours talking to the people that were there. They said that the casinos were some of the polling place locations, and that they would take the ballots and just throw them out in the alley and just stuff other ballots into the boxes. And nobody in the news wanted to report on it, because the entertainment union employees, the newspaper was dependent on the casinos for advertising dollars. But losing ballots, right, it's a real thing. Another is voting multiple times. There's the Chicago infamous stories where, my grandmother's dead, but she still votes,
Mm-hmm.
And then
is this why things like photo ID are so much opposed? Or that proof of showing that ID because it negates people going and claiming they are somebody when they are not?
Yes, you cannot buy cigarettes or liquor or even a fishing license without showing a photo ID.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yet they're wanting to make running for president less than getting cigarettes, saying you don't have to show a voter ID to vote for the most powerful position in the world. That's less than you're ranking it less than a pack of cigarettes. But the typical strategy is called walking cash. Remember, there was a congressman that they found his icebox in his congressional office stuffed with cash, and they were going to prosecute him. But Dennis Hastert, of all people, decided that he was going to not, since it was on congressional property grounds, he was not going to turn this congressman over for prosecution.
Hmm.
But nevertheless, his icebox was stuffed full of cash. Why? Because on election day, they walk around through the neighborhoods and they say, here's $20, here's a name, go into that polling place and vote with that name. And then when you're done, they put you on a bus, take you to another polling place, give you another $20, another name, go in and vote on that name.
Wow.
And in Missouri, they were simply wanting to videotape the people going in, not ask them questions, not assault them, just videotape them. Why? Because they wanted to compare, because they were describing people going to several different polling places,
yeah,
and it sounded like the same people.
Bill, Democrats said
that would be intimidation.
Yeah, and if I recall about the elections that you were involved in actually they went to court to keep certain polling places in liberal-dominated neighborhoods open while others were forced to close.
Right. So one year, they left my name off the ballot in five wards in the city of St. Louis. And we go down to the court and say, you know, what, this needs to be corrected. And they said, okay, we'll just leave all the polling places open till 10 p.m. and just tell everyone to come back and vote another time.
My.
Well, you can't have people checking in twice. I mean,
right,
this is total confusion.
Right.
So it's planned confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time they left people's names off the registered voter list. And then they sued to keep the polls open till midnight. And the next day comes out that the person that sued to keep the polls open had died several years earlier.
Oh, my
word.
They
just used his name, and then they just, it goes from the front page to the middle page to the back page of the
right
newspaper, and then it's forgotten, and they get to stay in office.
Bill Federer with us. Okay, we got losing ballots, voting multiple times. What's another method of fraud that is used?
Mail-in ballots. There's no way to secure mail-in ballots. You would literally have to have a Republican and a Democrat election judge following the mail carrier from each house to the truck, from the truck to the post office, from the post office to the Board of Election. There's no way to secure this. When I ran for Congress, I remember talking to a postal union worker, and they said, well, we have to vote Democrat because Republicans want to shut down the post office. I said, I've been Republican my whole life. I've never heard a Republican candidate say they want to shut down the post office.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I read it in our Postal Workers Union newspaper. Like, oh, that's what you're being told. And then he said, if there's a candidate they don't like, they leave their mailers under the counter for a couple extra days so they get delivered after the election.
Bill, and what you're saying, I mean, it's current news. Here's a headline that we recently saw from CNSnews.com. Here's a headline. Hillary Clinton fears slow postal service is GOP election year sabotage strategy.
Right. So now what she's doing is signaling. So that means that they are planning on doing the voter fraud, and she's wanting to get it out there in the press so it's old news when it happens so that people won't get upset about it. And then she wants to blame Republicans for what they're guilty of.
Hmm.
I know it may seem a little bit complicated, but little kids do this. I didn't start the fight. You started the fight, right? So you blame your opponent of what you're doing or planning on doing.
So these mail-in ballots that are lost, I mean, we've seen elections take place, and lo and behold, days later you find, what happened to these ballots? Well, we found so many thousand in a post office waiting to be delivered. We're doing research now to find out why did that happen. That's happening not in one post office. This is happening in many places across the nation.
Right. And years ago, with military ballots, especially from military personnel overseas, they would be delayed and delayed and delayed. Another is the idea that I was talking with Tony Perkins, the head of the Family Research Council, and he said he had run for state senate in Louisiana years ago, and his mailers were delivered 2 weeks after the election.
Yes.
In other words, there's a little bit of a leeway for them to deliver, quote-unquote, bulk mail, and so they take advantage of that leeway. So these are genuine concerns that people have with the mail-in ballots. Because
go ahead.
So the way the only way that you could have a secure voting is to have it at a location and have Republican, Democrat, whatever the other parties are, and the representatives sit around a table and they count it all over and over again until they all agree on the total, and they sign off on it and tape it on the window. Then they package up the ballots and send it to the Board of Election to be counted. And if you're a candidate, you can drive around to all the polling places, look at the number on the window, and it better equal what they announce on TV that night.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it is now is it's not counted until it gets to the Board of Election. That's like going to a Walmart and saying to the cashier, don't count the cash in your cash register. We'll just put it all in a big bag and we'll count it once it gets to the bank.
Wow.
It's like, wait a second. You mean everybody that's handling that bag between here and the bank could take something out of it? They could do something with it? That's the insecurity with the polling place, with the situation, unless you count it right at the location and then tape it on the window.
And Bill, you know, right now the push that's going on across this nation in some states are saying, like Nevada, to send a ballot to every person without whether they're requesting it or not. I mean, we've got people on the voter rolls that have died, they've moved, et cetera, and those rolls have never been purged, and so there are going to be a lot of ballots that are hanging out there in the wind.
Well, just last week, Kirstie Alley, the actress, said that the mail-in ballots won't work because she is still getting mail from people that lived at her house 16 years ago.
Absolutely.
She goes, the post office still can't get it straight. They're sending mail that somebody lived here 16 years ago. So how are they going to be the ones we trust with the most important election on planet Earth?
Yeah,
this is serious, because if they're able to do this, and there is a lust for power. Most common people think everybody is as honest as they are. Unfortunately, there's people that are motivated by lust, and Harry S. Truman said, it's like gambling once it gets into someone's veins. William Henry Harrison said, it's like lust for power is an undying worm. He says, other temptations grow weaker with age, but the lust for power grows stronger.
Right. Bill, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to discuss just a couple more of these methods that are being utilized for voter fraud. And friends will tell you how you can obtain a copy of this book, Socialism. These are outlined. These bullet points we're talking about are outlined in this book, Socialism. And again, we're going to take this break, and I'm going to come back and read that quote again that Bill gave to us from Joseph Stalin that he gave in 1923. It's so significant to the issue. We'll also tell you how you can obtain a copy of the book. This is Crosstalk, back in a minute.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, we've invited Bill Fitterer back with us on the program. There is so much information he has in this book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. We're discussing just a few chapters that are in the, and the chapters are brief here in the book. So there's a lot of information in a this volume that is, well, let's see, it is, oh, about 275 or so pages. And it's in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. We are making this available through Crosstalk. I know a number of people have contacted us for this book. We've got more that will be going out in the mail shortly. The book is available for donation of $18. It's available online at vcyamerica.org. A contribution of $18 or more to Crosstalk at vcyamerica.org or by calling 800-729-9829. Friends, I want you to understand that the things that are taking place today are not by accident. They are by design. Here again, on page 230 of his book, the quote from Joseph Stalin that he remarked in 1923 saying, "I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how, but what is extraordinarily important is this, who will count the votes and how." Who will count the votes and how? The issues of voter fraud taking place in the nation. And friends, again, this is there are so many different issues. We're going to have Bill back yet another time talking about some other matters from this book in more detail. But Bill, you've talked about the losing of ballots, voting multiple times, mail-in ballots lost or altered. We think of the delay in counting military ballots, even inaccurate ballot preparation, some names missing on ballots. Bill, there's another big issue here, and it seems to be coming to fruition because we are now in certain states issuing driver's licenses to illegal aliens, and there is an orchestrated effort going on right now to allow non-citizens to vote.
Right. I heard someone say that the way to stop illegal immigration would happen very quickly if every illegal immigrant was going to vote Republican. Then the political will would be, but what we see is most people hold to traditional moral values and not to the Democrat Party's radical sexual agenda, which is wanting to push not just the homosexual agenda, but getting rid of what they call heteronormative thinking, even thinking that there's a male and a female. This is very radical. And so most people don't go along with that. Most people like the idea that if you work hard, you can get more than someone that works less. It's a motivator. Most people think that if you take a risk and start a little business, you should be able to benefit and prosper as a result of the risk that you are willing to take. Most people think that if you go to school and educate yourself, you should be able to earn more money as a result of that. These are concepts that the Republican Party has, but the Democrat Party does have the entitlement programs. It's well documented that a woman without a husband in the home gets more money. When I ran for Congress, I remember knocking on a door and a lady answers and I says, "Well, I want to get rid of the marriage penalty." For those that aren't familiar, then when you do your taxes, if you file as a married couple, you pay more. You file as two individuals, you pay less. So I tell this woman, "I want to get rid of the marriage penalty." She starts crying. She goes, "Please, I've been living with my boyfriend 8 years, and he refuses to marry me because he says we'll have to pay so much more in taxes."
Right.
I knock on another door, and I say, "Well, I want to get rid of the marriage penalty." And the teenager laughs and walks away, and I'm standing there talking to the couple. I said, "Did I say something funny?" They go, no, that's just the reason we're not married. We can save $5,000 a year in taxes. In other words, that water seeks its own level. And if you can dangle a carrot out, you know, the little boy on the donkey dangling the carrot out, mm-hmm. if you can dangle a carrot out, you're going to move society in a certain direction. That's the whole concept behind sin taxes. What's a sin tax? You tax tobacco and alcohol and things that you want to discourage the use of. You make it more expensive to discourage people from buying it. And so if you make it more expensive to be married, guess what? You're going to discourage people from getting married. Yeah. I came up with the idea that if you can put down the date that you're married on your tax form, and every year you stay married, you get a bigger tax deduction.
Hmm.
I bet there would be a lot of people that would stay married just because they say, hey, we make more money. And when you statistically, when there's an intact marriage, the kids are better off.
Mm-hmm.
They end up, you know, achieving more in their lives and so forth.
Bill, I'd like to hit another issue here quick, and I know there's more that can be said about the non-citizens to vote and so forth and the incentives and so on, but I'd like to hit the electronic issue as well. More and more people are voting electronically, concerned about computer glitches. There are those who said, you know, I hit a certain name, but a different name comes up. They're concerned about the rigging of these electronic voting machines. Is that a realistic concern?
It is. There's only about three companies that make all of the voting machines. None of them are made in America or owned in America. They're foreign-owned companies. They have a dozen different ways to alter it. They can have a trapdoor program. What's that? That's where the computer works perfectly, but if you do an unusual configuration of people that you vote for, you know, from different parties and so forth, it triggers a preset program inside the computer to sort it out to a predetermined percentage with one winning and one losing. They can access it. Even when I ran for Congress years ago, we toured where they were doing the voting machines, and they said, well, if there's a problem on Election Day, we have all these computers online and we can fix it. And our attorney said, you mean you can access the computer on Election Day remotely? Yeah, we can fix anything if there's a software problem. In other words, they have access to altering the results. Another is a program that's date sensitive. So you can test the computer every day before, every day after. It works perfectly. But on the day of the election, it reverts to a predetermined percentage outcome for the vote tallying. There's a dozen different ways, and then there's the actual screen where they can enlarge the area. So when you touch an area, it's actually voting for another candidate. They say, well, you can print off a receipt, but who actually does anything with the receipt?
Mm-hmm.
What you would have to do is random auditing. Now, I have a degree in accounting. When you have situations like this, you do random audits. So every single election where they're using computers voting, they should do random audits just to see. And if there is discrepancies, then you do a bigger audit. They sort of do this when you're going through the airport, and they'll randomly pick somebody through the screening process where you're randomly picked to be searched. That's another thing. But right now, there is none of that. Mm-hmm. We're just trusting these three companies that can be accessed. They're foreign-owned. And when you realize this country determines the fate of the world, there's a whole lot of foreign interests that want to alter this. And with computer voting, you can either have anonymity or accuracy. So if you want to make sure that the results are accurate, you have to be able to trace it back to the originating transaction. The originating person that, but you have to identify the person that did the voting. But if you want to keep it anonymous, then there's no way to track it back to the person that did the voting, and it's totally unsecurable. So that's the inherent weakness with computer voting. It's either anonymity or accountability.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Today, we're focusing our comments on the topic of socialism, but as it relates to voter fraud, the public opinion switch, the manipulating of voters, those type of issues here today. That's where we've lasered our focus here today on the program. 800-733-9829. Bill Federer is our guest. And Bill, I know there's concern even about people hacking into our system and blaming foreign intelligence. Is it Department of Homeland Security that can actually get into the systems?
Right. So this was in the U.S. news in the December 16th of 2016, after Trump was voted. There was concern that in Georgia they had evidence that their computers that were tallying the voting was being hacked into. And they did the research to see who was hacking into it. It was our own U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And then this same thing happened in the state of Indiana. They noticed that somebody was trying to hack into their computers. And this was in the Daily Caller, reported February 21st, 2017, that, again, our own U.S. Homeland Security was trying to track went underneath of President Obama, the same way that the IRS and these different agencies were being used for political purposes. There was evidence. And then, of course, the people at the Homeland Security say, well, that was some low-level person that did that without our approval. They always have what they call a scapegoat that mm-hmm. they can blame. But, yeah, so here our own country was not just spying on our own candidates, but actually there's evidence that they were trying to hack into these computers. Now, I do want to say, when people hear this, they go, why vote if it's all that? The normal political theory is that they can do about 10% voter fraud, which means that the good candidate not only has to win, but has to win by an extra 10% to barely win. So it'll be reported, this candidate barely won. Well, actually, they won by a huge percentage, but it was countered by voter fraud. So in other words, instead of saying, I'm not going to bother voting because it's rigged, no. They can only rig so much of it. If we have an overwhelming response of people voting for the good candidate, it can cancel out. It's like in your yard, you have weeds, but if you keep the healthy grass healthy, it crowds out the weeds. The same way in your body, you have, you know, little bacteria that are there all the time, but as long as your body stays healthy, it keeps in check. It's only when you get weakened does that manifest. And so we need to be a really healthy body. We need to be a really healthy lawn. We need to get a whole lot of people out to vote, and it will counter this voter fraud.
Bill Federer, our guest here today, and as quoted on page 232 in his book, abolitionist Frederick Douglass wrote in the North Star newspaper, March 17th, 1848, "The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. It can only be maintained by a sacred regard for the rights of all men." Ladies and gentlemen, voter fraud is an issue, and certainly we see the huge emphasis, just get a ballot out to everybody, mail-in voting, and I just want to tell you one more thing. CBS, they're not known for their conservatism, folks, but CBS just did an experiment, and they did it on, this is one of their co-hosts from CBS News this morning. They wanted to do an experiment to test the integrity of utilizing mail-in voting. They set up a fake post office box to determine if ballots were adequately counted, and instead of proving to be 100% accurate as they anticipated, the results were a disaster. They sent out 100 mock ballots in the Philadelphia area to simulate genuine mail-in votes. This just recently happened, albeit with the expedited election mail insignia. After the post office box was set up, 100 more of these false ballots were sent out. After a week, 97% of the ballots that they had mailed had been returned. Three simulated persons, or 3% of the ballots, were effectively disenfranchised by mail by giving their ballots a week to arrive. Folks, in a close election, 3% could be pivotal. And yet CBS, doing their own test on this, found that the mail-in ballot process was non-effective. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back to your phone calls. Our number, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. In 1958, there was a very historic book written that all of you should read. You'll find it for free online. It's called Color, Communism, and Common Sense. It was written by Johnson Manning, someone I have written and spoken about for many years. He was at one time a very high-ranking official within the Communist Party of America. As a black American, he details how, beginning at least in 1934, Moscow began to try to take over the black churches of America and use them for agitation, for race war, division, and chaos. My friends, you can see what his warnings were all about and how many of the things he warned about, well, they're coming true in 2020. What's really startling is that the tactics that were used to take over the black churches in America by the communists have been largely used to take over the white Protestant denominations in America.
Music.
Bill Federer with us today. Socialism / voter fraud, our topic today here on Crosstalk. And folks, those who are pushing the socialistic agenda, guess what? It is part of the agenda. Also, just a reminder, Bill's book, Available Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, available for donation of $18 or more to Crosstalk. You can go online at vcyamerica.org or call 800-729-9829. Let's go to Toledo, Oregon. Annalise, you're on the air.
Bill, I wondered, thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Something I think is really important to know about, and I'm questioning the validity of it, is a pamphlet that comes out called Vote Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that, William Federer?
No.
Well, we have interviewed people from Vote Smart, a nonpartisan agency,
right,
where they track Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Green Party, etc.
And they track their information and what they stand
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have found them to be reliable as far as they'll give you both sides of the equation. They'll tell you liberal groups backing candidates, conservative groups backing candidates.
That's the reason why I'm calling in, mm-hmm. because I did get that before I called the group. When I found out about it, I actually called this mm-hmm. college group. It's a college group
yeah.
that does this. And I asked them about their position on both sides of an issue, and they said, we try very hard mm-hmm. to be very fair to both sides so that the voting public can
right.
make up their own mind and make up an informed choice.
Right, right.
Just yep. so that people might know this.
Yep. Thank you, Annalise. Yeah, that was votesmart.org, I believe, is their site. Let's go to Holly in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to comment in regards to today where you're talking about the media swaying public opinion. And I found it ironic that, you know, they don't even hide it. Bill Gates is in New Zealand right now with, I think it was the CEO of Google, just like he said that he would collude with them in Event 201. And so it is such a scary thing that the truth is hidden right out in the open, as you guys already know, and
mm-hmm.
even Christians falling for it and justifying horrible things like
yeah.
abortion.
Yeah, thank you. And Bill, this is something where when people are told over and over and over the same thing, they begin to believe it, and we need to understand what is the source of our news, what is the source of the information we're getting from, because the secular media, very much in collusion to advance a socialistic mindset.
Right, control of the media has been, again, when Joseph Goebbels was the minister of propaganda for Hitler, he said, you repeat a lie often enough and people will believe it.
Yep.
And so they also do that with accusations, so that if they can get a candidate's name next to an accusation and they say it long enough, most people only read the headlines and they begin to make a mental connection there, even if the candidate is innocent.
Let's go to Jim calling in. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much, gentlemen, for having these programs. Very, very important. I just want to say that I'm in contact with my local state representative, and I just ordered copies of these programs and the books,
mm-hmm.
and I will be getting copies to my representative. I think this is very important. I really encourage many people to do that and get this information out there.
Thank you, Jim. Good idea to get it out in the hands of your congressman.
Yep.
Thank you, Jim. Chester in Salem, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. I just have a quick comment, maybe an ideal. The worried about this mail-in voting, which I know mail gets lost all the time. My bills get sent to the neighbors down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for mail to get lost. But why couldn't, with all the computer technology we have, why couldn't they set up some kind of voting app on the US.gov website and let people put their name and their voter's registration number in? Without that, there's no way they could vote.
Okay. Bill, thank you for that comment, Chester. Is that subject to manipulation, Bill?
It's a great idea, but yes, again, it would need to be audited. It would need to have at least random auditing, because you see the manipulation. So when Trump was going to have a rally in Tulsa, some of the people on the opposite party side went onto the Trump website and registered like a million people with fake names. And so they were expecting a huge crowd there. They still had a good crowd, but it wasn't nearly the amount. And then they found out that the people on the left, there are some very smart people, they learned how to manipulate with the numbers. And it's easy to do. I did want to throw out this quote from Joseph Goebbels. He was Hitler's minister of propaganda. He says, "The most brilliant propagandist technique will yield no success unless one fundamental principle is borne in mind constantly. It must confine itself to a few points and repeat them over and over and over again. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it."
Yeah.
So just because everybody in the, you know, the technology, you know, Google, Facebook, and they're saying it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Maybe they're just telling a big enough lie.
Let's get to Doug in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for accepting my call. Why couldn't we do something like a camera? Like when you go through a toll booth, it takes a picture of your license plate. That's very quick. Why couldn't they have a camera when you slide your ballot in, you take your picture? I mean...
You know, it's an interesting concept, Doug, but there is a great opposition to showing, even to show your ID to vote, saying that disenfranchises voters in that regard. Bill, what about the camera after you, as you're putting it into the machine?
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You know, I went to another country, came back to America. We went by these machines they have in the passport, you know, and it takes a little picture of your face and matches it up. Yeah, it's a brilliant idea. But there have been lawsuits from people on the left saying, well, this could intimidate people. And then they get it tied up in court for years and years. Yeah. But it shouldn't intimidate people. Again, you show your picture when you're going to, you know, when they're going to buy cigarettes and booze. They may as well show their picture when they're going to vote.
Thank you, Doug. And I've had to show a picture to get rid of used waste motor oil. Getting a library card. I mean, my, oh my, to get a book of Curious George to have to show a photo ID. We're less than 30 seconds, and we apologize to other callers on hold. We'll not be able to get to you. But again, folks, so much and that we've talked about today and more in the book Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control, available our way of saying thank you for your support of $18. Go to vcyamerica.org. Or you may call 800-729-9829. Bill, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
Again, Bill Federer with us here today. My, that was just a few chapters from the book. There's so much more in there to know and to learn as to what's going on in our society today. As we said, folks, it's not happening by accident. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.